My guest at this time is Dolly Kyle. She is a childhood friend of former President Bill Clinton. In their adult years, they carried on an affair, and she is also the author of the new book, Hillary, the Other Woman. We wanted to get Ms. Kyle's reaction to Bill Clinton's speech designed to humanize Hillary Clinton at the Democratic National Convention. And Dolly, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, you're very welcome, Greg. I'm glad to talk to you.
Well, a lot of people obviously watched the speech. We're going to play just a little clip here from the very, very beginning of the speech and get your reaction to a number of things that happened according to the president's description. Here's how Bill Clinton started the speech.
In the spring of 1971, I met a girl. After the class, I followed her out, intending to introduce myself. I got close enough to touch her back, but I couldn't do it. Somehow I knew this would not be just another tap on the shoulder, that I might be starting something I couldn't stop.
So, Dolly, when you hear that type of characterization, what went through your mind on Tuesday night?
I'm sorry. First off, I didn't listen to the speech because I could have written it, knowing this guy as long as I've known him, you know, since I was 11 years old. The first thing I thought when he thought about touching a female in front of him was the number of women he's raped and sexually assaulted, but we weren't going there, so I'm sure he didn't mention that in his speech.
He did not.
Okay, then. Too bad.
What about his characterization of his encounter with Hillary?
Well, I've heard the story repeated ad nauseum about how they met in the law library, and the law library got bigger, and the stairs became greater, and there became more and more of a romantic element the more times they told the story. However, considering that Billy and Hillary are both pathological liars, it's hard to say how much of that story is true. It's impossible to know. And because they are pathological liars, and they believe themselves, as those who can pass a polygraph do, there's no telling what the truth really is. And that's why I don't even bother to listen, because I know what he's going to say, and I know it bears little resemblance to the truth most of the time.
Do you have any memory of him contacting you and telling you at the time about this woman he had met?
Oh, sure. Yeah, he told me about Hillary, and he told me in the fall of 1972 that he was moving in with her at Yale. And he made it sound like it was no big deal, which apparently to him it wasn't, because he was seeing plenty of other women at the time, as he always did, including throughout their engagement and their marriage. So she was, as I say in my book, the other woman, because at the time I met Hillary, she had been with Billy for a little while, and I had known him at that point for 15 years. And this is not a scorned woman or, gee, you know, he's the one who got away. Thank God I wasn't married to a rapist, sexual assaulter for all those years and had to cover up for him or leave him, which is what a decent woman would have done.
He continued to describe this joyous relationship going forward to the time they got married, saying he married his best friend, and then this was this wonderful, glorious partnership all the way up to the birth of Chelsea and so forth and ongoing. What do you remember from those early years of their marriage?
He lied, as always, and as I said, he was dating women and me at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville in 1974. Hillary knew that. She sent her father and one of her brothers down to Arkansas to spy on him while she was still in Washington, trying to establish herself on her own. She realized, of course, that with her personality and all that, she couldn't possibly, so she had to ride his coattails. And then there's, of course, the charming story about the birth of Chelsea. And in my book, I talk about it in more detail, so I don't want to ruin the story for anyone who might read it. But the birth of Chelsea, the conception, the whole idea of having that baby was a political ploy to take attention away from what Billy called the warden's lifestyle, and to make them appear to be a normal couple. So every single thing they've done has had a political agenda attached to it, including the birth of Chelsea.
As you will not be surprised to hear, I'm sure, given the national stage that he gave this speech, he did not mention any of the other women he's been with, did not even mention the scandal from 1998 and so forth, essentially painting this picture of a partnership and Hillary as this person who, long before she ever held public office, was making change in a way that helped families across America and so forth. So while I'm sure that doesn't surprise you, how well does that match up to what you were witnessing up to the time where you kind of broke off ties with them in the early 90s?
Well, I have to say first, when you talk about making change, that Hillary and Billy don't make change. They take the whole amount of the bribes and the donations to the Clinton Foundation, and they don't ever give any change. They keep all of it. I have to say that. The other thing is, I'm sure Billy could talk ad nauseum about Hillary's accomplishments, but I don't think he could name any of them, because what she has done is she has ridden his coattails to the position she's in now and lied about her accomplishments. You know, talk about fighting for women and children. She doesn't talk about representing a rapist who raped a 12-year-old girl, and Hillary lied about the girl and made up stories. Granted, the man deserves a constitutional defense, but he did not deserve someone lying about the victim. And Hillary, in one of the years she was First Lady of Arkansas, called the children at an Easter egg hunt effing retards when they weren't moving fast enough to get out of her way to suit her. So, you know, these people are just liars and hypocrites, and I'm sorry if I sound bad talking about that. I'm just a messenger. But the fact is, I put it all in the book, and I put the bad stuff about me, too, because I don't want there to be anything that they can blackmail me with, as they've blackmailed half the people in Washington. I mean, Hillary took those files when they got in the White House. They took the FBI files, 900 of them. Everyone in Washington is still scared that they might have been in one of those 900, and they can't say anything. They're just all scared. I'm not, but apparently a lot of bigger people than I am are scared to death of them.
We're also hearing a lot of interviews. Bill Clinton tried to do this in his speech on Tuesday night, but Terry McAuliffe and others have said that the Hillary Clinton that people have seen in public for a number of decades now, she seems a little stiff and calculating, but if you see her behind the scenes, if you go on vacation with her or in a social setting, she's just the loveliest, most friendly person who is just very easygoing and easy to be friends with. I know you had obviously a complicated relationship with her since she knew what was going on between you and her husband, but how well or how poorly does that ring true for you?
She can fake being pleasant for quite some time. As she is becoming increasingly cognitively impaired, however, I think she's having a lot more trouble doing that. I talk about that in the last chapter of the book. I hesitated to do it, but, and someone told me they didn't know what cognitively impaired meant. It means when your mind is going soft, and I think we can see incidences of that, and she just can't control herself the way she could back then. But she's always lived two lives, and that's why the other play on the word other, the other woman, she is the woman she really is deep down, and she's the other woman, the one she presents to the world. But now I've seen both sides, but the fact of the matter is she really is losing it mentally, and I think this is why she has not done a press conference since last December. She can't take pressure. And I looked at the Centers for Disease Control symptoms for cognitive impairment, and in chapter 50 of the book, Hillary the Other Woman, I set forth very concrete examples of what she is doing, what she has done, what people can see to say, yeah, you know what? This woman is losing it. I mean, kind of like it's sad when you see your mother or your grandmother losing it. Hillary's losing it.
What does it say to you, Dolly, that after 40 years, to some extent, in the public spotlight, and certainly about 25 in the national spotlight, that Bill Clinton and others feel like a major portion of this convention needs to be to humanize Hillary?
Well, they don't call her the Hill the Beast for nothing. I mean, she needs to be humanized. And this was the piece that has always been missing for her. I believe after what happened to me and what I learned in therapy and all, I do believe that Hillary was sexually abused at some point by a woman, and that she was also sexually abused by a man. I believe she has not dealt with these issues. So deep down, she really hates herself, and by extension, everyone else. So she has to look down on other people. Then don't get me started on their racial discrimination with these two. And they, and African Americans particularly have fallen for it hook, line, and sinker. It's sad, really. It's absolutely sad. But I don't think anyone can have information and integrity and support Hillary Clinton. You just can't. There's something wrong if you know about her and can vote for her. Something's wrong with your integrity. And if you can vote for her, it's probably because you don't know her. She is an other woman.
Dolly Kyle is the author of Hillary, the Other Woman. She's a longtime friend of Bill Clinton, a childhood friend, and they carried on a relationship in their adult years while Bill was married to Hillary as well. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.